Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
المتكبر الخالق البارئ المصور الغفار القهار الوهاب الرزاق الفتاح العليم
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكم العدل
اللطيف الخبير الحليم العظيم الغفور.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. You're welcome to another edition of Everyday Muslim Show on Women Radio 91.7 FM. Today is Saturday, January 18, 2025, corresponding to the 18th of Rajab, 1446 AH. Wow, Rajab is the seventh month of the Islamic calendar, a sacred month and a precursor to the month of Ramadan, which is barely 41 days away. And according to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the du'as that he always make when Rajab comes in like this is Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa sha'bana balighna Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spare our lives to witness the blessed month of Ramadan. On Everyday Muslim Show, which is a program that you are listening to, we try to address misconceptions about Islam, force a peaceful coexistence within the society, and guide the everyday Muslim on their journey in Islam. I'm your host for today, Abdul Hakim Qasim, welcoming you to this wonderful program and this important episode where we shall be taking a look at something very, very important in Islam. But to begin with, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, the Exalted, says in the glorious Quran, قُلْ إِذَا اللَّهُ إِذَا الرَّحْمَنِ أَيَّمَّا تَدْعُوا فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, invoke Allah or invoke the Most Gracious. By whatever name you invoke Him, it is the same. For to Him belong the best of names. You find this verse of the Quran in Quran chapter 17, Surah Al-Isra, verse 110. Today, inshallah, biqudratillahi, we shall be taking a look at the characteristics of God in Islam, exploring the 99 names of Allah and their attributes. So, the characteristics of God in Islam, exploring the 99 names of Allah and their attributes in Islam. And our guest discussant for today is none other than our father, Sheikh Dawood Aditokunbo Adelakum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Naam, you're very much welcome. For those of us
Alhamdulillah.
For those of you who are just probably listening to the program for the first time, or you are actually here, you just heard the name Sheikh Dawood Adelakum for the first time. Sheikh Dawood Adelakum is the Chief Missioner, Association of Muslim Professionals. He's also the Chief Imam of Omitoro Central Mosque in Ikorodu and the Chairman of Hablo Lookwood Charitable Foundation. So, Sheikh, you are very much welcome to the program.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair. You are also welcome.
Alhamdulillah.
It's a very beautiful morning. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's always a pleasure to have you on this program.
Alhamdulillah.
And to our listeners at home, it's always a pleasure to have you join us every Saturday from 11 a.m. To 12 noon this Saturday, every Saturday on this frequency 91.7 Women Radio. Many thanks to the management over the station as well as the Muslim Public Affairs Center who have facilitated this program. So today, Sheikh, we are looking at the characteristics of God in Islam, exploring the 99 names of Allah and their attributes, because we know quite well that that tag 99 names of Allah is something that is very, very popular among the Muslims. So it's something that a lot of people want to know about. So what exactly does it mean to truly know Allah through his 99 names, and how can this understanding transform our relationship with him and the world around us?
Walhamdulillah wassalatu wassalam ala al-mab'uth rahmatan lil alamin nabiyyina wa rasuluna Muhammadi wa ala alihi wa sahbati ajma'in. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We glorify him, we adore him, we appreciate him, we celebrate his name, we testify to his oneness, that he's our creator, he's our protector, who is a nourisher, he's our provider, he's the one that's owned everything, there's nothing unlike him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank him so much for creating us as human beings. We thank him so much for honoring us with the gift of Islam. And we thank him so much for preserving us on his path and giving us good health to be able to be here today to do what he has actually created for us. And that is what? To worship him, Allah alone. And how to worship him? You worship him by listening to him, by obeying him, by calling us to what he has actually ordained. Alhamdulillah for that. Alhamdulillah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you also testify to the messengership and the apostleship of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is his messenger. He is an apostle. He is his slave. He is not his son, and he is not his family members. He is just the slave of Allah and the messenger of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for delivering the word of Allah to us, guiding us unto knowing Allah, because he's our creator. And we don't know him, and he has sent messages. How do we know him? We can only know him through the messenger which he has sent, and that is Muhammadu sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Peace and blessings upon Allah be upon him, and his household and companions, and those who follow him, and those who follow him and follow him and follow him until he get to us. May Allah make us among those generations who come, we also refer to as a guider to the words of Allah. Allah make us among those who will be guiding to the right of Allah.
Ameen.
And don't make us among those who will be misleading people.
Ameen.
Allahumma jalna hudata mutadeen. Wala tajilna dolla mudilin. Make us among those who are guided and will be guiding people. Not those who actually lost themselves, gone astray, and the misleading people call themselves the scholars of Islam. Allah guide us from all those ones. Bidas bi asrabi shirali sadri wa yassir li amri wa halul uqdata min lisani afkaw qawli. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh again.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Talking about the names, 99 names of Allah, we are called the sifa, the attributes of Allah. Allah is one, is unique. Just like you are, your name is Qasim. You have other qualities which is you are being known. What you are known for, what is unique about you, what are your characteristics that, these are what this person can do, he can do, he can do, he can do. So by knowing that, we know. It's like when you apply for a job, they ask you, what's your qualification? Okay, what are your hobbies? What are these? What are your talents? Where do you have talent? What hobbies do you have? What?
So they define your personality.
They define your personality. So they want to know. So we know the way to deal with you and to relate with you. And the best way to relate with people is to know who that person is.
Yeah.
So it's Allah, the Lord, the creator, the protector, the provider, the nourisher. He's all in all. And that is why his name is called Ilah. This Ilah is a generic name that goes to everything, what is called things to be worshipped. But Allah means the one to be worshipped. There are many, many gods. And that is
that
why
people
we say,
worship.
That people worship. That's why people say, we say in Islam, we say, La ilaha illallah. There's no Lord worthy of people worship many, many things. They worship human beings, they worship animals, they worship
trees, water, bodies,
stones. They worship many creatures of Allah. But no, all of them are not worthy of being worshipped. Except who? Allah, the creator. This Allah, the creator, how is he that creator? How is he that unique? Why should he be the only one to be worshipped? Then we have to look at his qualities. We have to look at his attributes. so that you know, oh, it's really the one that's worthy of being worshipped. So these are called the attributes of Allah, which shows what Allah does. And that is called the Sifatu Allah, or called Asma'ullah al-Husna, the names of Allah. That's actually which is the beautiful. Most beautiful one with which Allah is called. And just like you have already mentioned in the beginning, Allah says, Walillahi al-asma'ul husna fad'uhu biha. The most beautiful names. That is why Allah, to call somebody Allah, to call something Allah that you want to worship, it must pass some test. And one of those tests is that it must not have any inequities. It must not have any blemishes. It must not have any comparison. That's why it's unique, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have what is generic among his name, and we have what it can be attributed that people can share with him as human being. But they cannot share the lordship with him, but they can share some of the attributes which he has to the extent in which human beings are.
Impressive. Jazakumullah khair for that. Now, because we're talking about, these attributes, I know quite well that there are so many people in the world today that also feel that we can actually describe God in, whichever way that pleases us, and you would hear, a whole lot of descriptions, one way or the other. Some would even describe probably God as, like someone with a garment of the sun and, garment of fire, or, I know quite well someone say, the ancients of days, the rock of ages, and things like that. I also know probably even in Yoruba land, they use different ways by which to venerate God. Beyond even that even for Yoruba traditional societies and whatsoever, they have ways by which they also venerate God. Some even say that because God is just so high and so big,
we cannot get to him directly.
So we have to go through. So how should we really understand some of these attributes? And can we just coin whatever we like to describe God in our own way, in our own understanding? Or probably there are ways by which God himself actually wishes that we should, describe him.
Allah himself, that is why he said, Walillahi al-asma'ul husna fad'u. Allah has unique name who are beautiful. And Allah has mentioned the way he's going to be called. It is not for us to actually coin a name for Allah, except that name which Allah himself has taught his messenger to teach us. Or he has taught some people that, okay, that's why Mr. Rasis and so our ilmu is tasaf al-gaybin indek. Or some knowledge that you have kept with you, that name which belongs to you. The only name we can give to Allah must be the one that's approved by Allah by himself. Okay. It is not by our own imagination, it's not by our own creation, it's not by our own making. It must be the one that is designed himself by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has sent to his messenger to tell us, and sufficient is that for us. When we have so much to use for Allah, why do we need to be cunning in that one? Just like saying, want to say, you want to praise the message of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah has told us this is what you used to praise him. Why do you need to be calling that one? Have you exhausted those ones?
Okay, all right, good.
We have not exhausted the names given by Allah himself. Say, this is my name. Idiullah, Awidiur Rahman, Ayyamma Tadi'u, Falawul Asma wal Usna. Call Allah, or call the most gracious. Whatever you say, to him belongs the most beautiful name. So whatever name we call Allah must be the one that actually suits its nature, not the one that we imagine as human being. That is so great, it does not look old to the extent that he's going to be with glasses. He's the one that has the robe of fire. Or is that he's God of fire. Or is the one that has a long hand that can catch anything. Oh, he's so tall that he can reach anywhere. So we don't give the description of human being. That is why Allah says, "Laysa kamithlihi shay'un wa huwa as-sami'ul basir." There's nothing comparable to Allah. So any attempt to compare Allah with human being is aberration, is sin. You don't compare him to human being.
Okay. All right.
He is the creator. Every other thing are creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you cannot compare the creator with the creatures.
Okay, good. I love that. So because that, if an attempt to do that, probably without is even then that is nothing unique about him anymore.
Of course, that is why Allah said, So Ubay ibn Ka'ab, he said one day the kuffar came to the Messenger of Allah. He said, "Nasib lana rabbak ya Muhammad." Oh Muhammad, describe your Lord to us. Describe him to us. How does he know what he say? In the last sense, Muhammad says, "Pull, Wallahu ahad." Allahu Samad lam yalid walam yulad walam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad. Tell them that this Lord you're talking about is only one.
Unique. Only.
Only. It's not divisible. It's single. It's odd. That's why it's, Allah is odd and less is odd. But its oddness means only one. It's not three. It's not seven. It's not. It's just one. Okay. It cannot divide one into anything. Okay. So you have fractions.
Indivisible.
It's indivisible.
Okay.
He is the one that everything that has created must always look up to. He does not look to anybody. Everything must look up to him.
Self-subsisting.
He cannot self-subsisting. It's sufficient on his own. He does not even beget. If he has a child, because okay, oh, if the child is like this, that God is must resemble his father. God must have resembled, the child will have resembled his father. This is how the father looks. So that's why it's looking. So if he has a child, then we have said, okay, look at the child from God from the child. No. Does not have partner, does not have wife, does not beget. And he was not born by anybody. If he's born, so who is the father that bought God? If you look at the father, see, we cannot see God, but you see the father. At least you can see this. This is in the nature of the father. This, the child should possess all the God.
Okay.
So that is why. Walam yakun la kufuwan.
No equal.
No equal with him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right.
So this is the uniqueness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
As great as he is, he has some attributes through which we can get to him.
Okay.
Like you have rightly said, people think God is so great. And we cannot get to him. Therefore, let's get to him through some lesser God.
An intermediary.
Intermediary. That is why I said, don't go to intermediary. All those intermediaries, as me, myself, these are the intermediaries you want to get. It's my name.
Use them directly.
Use them directly to come to me.
So come to me. Don't go
don't
through
go
any
to
other
anybody.
Person.
Come through me through my attributes. What is what you want? Look at my names. I have some of the attributes of that. Use that one to call me.
Okay, good. I love that. Now, so because we now talk about 99 names, what exactly is what is the origin of these 99 that you know we all lay claim to, especially among the Muslims? So, what is the source of these 99 attributes or names that we give to Allah?
Well, it is the message of Allah of said,
Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say, Lillahi tisya wa tisya'una isma. Or mi'at ila wahid. Allah has 99 names. Which has told him 100 minus 1. Therefore, called. So if Messenger of Allah told us this, that the names that he has, and all these names are mentioned in the Quran, these are the names of Allah, the attributes of Allah, that is what we take. Because the Messenger have told us, so we don't need to actually, okay, this is an ayah that brings it or no. Allah is the Messenger, so this is what he has told us. So we stick to what Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us. That is because he said, Allah said that I have 99 names, then he has 99 names. Because he's the Messenger, and this is the one that brought us the message.
Okay, all right, good. So now, all these attributes are many, like the one we listened to, the Nasheed we listened to at the beginning of you know, the program, which will come the program. So now, one of it is, in fact, Ar-Rahman. Even looking at that verse that we opened the program with, So Idullah Abidun Rahman. So now, so like looking at the names of Ar-Rahman, the most compassionate, and Al-Ghafar, the consistent forgiver. Now, so how do these attributes actually reflect the boundless mercy of Allah, even for those probably who repeatedly fall into sin? Because I know that a lot of people feel like, we have sinned, though, forget. So we are, our own sins just so much that God cannot even forgive us again. So don't let us even bother. So don't even bother to preach to us.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator, like his Khalik, that creates everything.
Yes.
And he creates, and he knows what he has created. Allah ya'lam man khalaqa wa lakum khabir. So don't I know what I've created? I know what I've created. I know the nature of human being. I know what they can do. I know they'll be sinning. And I know what they sin, they deserve, they desire forgiveness from me.
Yeah.
And I can forgive them. So Allah does not create what he has no control over. So he knows you can sin. Therefore, and having created us, it's not that we are not the creator of ourselves. We don't come to this world by our volition. It's Allah that decided that I want to come to the world and we come to the world. So that is why we don't own ourselves. It's Allah that owns us because it's not by our agreement that we came to the world. Allah just decided, go to the world and we come to the world. So that one that has been able to come to the world knows that those coming to the world need provisions. They must survive. What will they survive upon? Allah knows.
He provided before we came.
He has provided that one now. And he knows because because there will be so much anxious to get many things. In this process, they may cross the line. They may sin. What is the way out for them? And that is why one of the others said, when Allah created after creating heaven and heart, Allah went and created Adam. He went to the right of his throne and said, O Adam, I will always be merciful to you. and what is going to come for you, to you. And I will never be unjust to you. So Allah has come with mercy and justice. But this I will be merciful to you. So therefore, when you sin and you ask for forgiveness from me, I am going to forgive you. You see? So Allah is Rahman. That is so generally merciful to people.
Whether you worship him,
or you don't worship him. Whether you believe in him or you don't believe, because why? I am the one that created you. Having created you, I own you your sustenance. There's no creature on the surface of the heart except his provision has been made before him. So his provision has been made, what is going to do? So it is that Rahman of Allah. It's the master of Allah. The rain is going to fall. It falls on those who worship and those who don't worship. And the grapes are going to grow. And it's going to be bought and eaten by those who worship and don't worship. The air is going to be blown and it's going to be breathed in by those who worship and don't worship. So you're going to walk on the earth. These are the Rahman of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's general upon anybody. Because why? He is your creator. And having created you, I owe you what you are going to eat. So he provides for you. So that is his Rahman. It is absolute. He gives to everybody. And that's why he has Rahim, which is now relative. The Rahman is absolute, but Rahim is relative. Rahman, whether you worship or not, he is going to give you in this world. So it's absolute to everybody, whether you worship or not. So he gives you. So, and that is why. So because he's Rahman, he gives everything. And despite having given you, what's expected of you is to thank him, is to appreciate him. Yet, having eaten his resources, having walked on his earth, having breathed in his air, you still sin against him. The natural thing is to just punish you, condemn you. Having given all this, you still sin against me, I condemn you. I say, no, Allah say no. You still can sin as a human being. He gives his door of repentance. You may not know, you may have realized repentance. And when you come to me, I say, I'm going to forgive you. Say, tell my people, Anni, that me Allah, Al-Ghafur, Ar-Rahim. The one that's off to forgive. I'm not only forgiving you, I'm forgiving you. As you what?
I'm going
to show mercy upon you after forgiving you. That is it. Ya ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim la taqnatu min rahmatillah inna lak fudhruba jami'an. Oh, my servants who have actually what?
Transgressed.
Transgressed, crossed the boundaries, who have ruined their soul. Asrafu ala anfusihim. They have ruined their souls. Don't be despair of the mercy of Allah. Don't be despair of the mercy of Allah. Because what? In Allah for the jami'an. If you can come to me, Allah, oh Allah, forgive me. I'm going to go to you. You're God, you're welcome. Even until you want to die, as long as the danger of death has not come, you change. Even 1 hour, 2 hours, I still go forgive you. In as long as repentance is what? Sincere. Tawbatan? Nasuha. If it's a sincere one, Allah says, I'm still going to forgive you. So that is Allah.
Allahu Akbar. Because I'm trying to imagine, because I remember it's always one very terrible experience. I had one, the experience of a friend of mine. And that's always the last thing I have always remembered him for. I was still in junior secondary school. And he said, me. The guy is not even Yoruba, actually. And he was saying, me? I will sin and sin and sin and sin to the extent that on the day of judgment, God will say, you this boy.
He will just throw you.
You just flick me, roll me, roll me.
You pass the fire down, jump up and throw you.
I was just like, just that's the last experience I always had of him. By the time we resume the next session, I was told that he's no more. So, in fact, so seriously, so now when you talk about that, like, so God does not need to roll you and fling you.
He doesn't need that.
If you can just actually, repent from your sins and seek his forgiveness.
That is why, in the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he has told us of a man that killed 99 people. He came to a monk. He came to somebody that talked to him, a scholar. That says, he's just a scholar. I say, I'm afraid. I've heard so much about this God. I've committed
murder.
So murder. 99 people I've killed. 99 from my hand. Is there any way out? Is there a way? 99. Here it's yourself. Even if you're yourself, imagine yourself. Somebody has killed you. If you have 99 people has killed you, 99. Will you forgive that person? So there's no way. So that means there's no limit to sin.
Let me keep it's up a hopeless situation then.
It's a hopeless situation. So let me continue sinning. So what is it? Okay, fine. Okay. So at least let me hide you to eat now. So that's my point. So
round up.
Round up with making 100.
Allah Akbar.
But yet, because Allah has touched his heart, he's still feeling guilty. He has asked nafsin lawama. He's reprimanded his soul. He's blessing him. You know, he's
struggling and battling within himself
that, have I done what is right? I think I should. There should be a way out. Then he went to meet a scholar who has actual knowledge of Allah. Because that is why you don't know this Asma ul Husna. If you don't have understanding of this name of Allah and how it operates, there's no way you can benefit from it. It is not just chanting it. Chanting it alone. You must understand the meaning and how Allah operates with it. That is when you are going to take advantage of it and to be useful to you. So the other person, the other one, he knows that Allah is, oh, Allah says, I punish those who offend me and who have committed murder. He does not know Allah can forgive despite that one. Even though he knows, he was not convinced about it. But this one knows that Allah is Allah. He can do everything. Nobody can question him. What about he does? There is Allah, you follow his Allah. Nobody can question him. Therefore, it's you. So what can? So yes, Allah can forgive you. But on conditions. What are the conditions? Now lay out the condition. Because Allah forgives, as we have said, but Allah has his own condition of forgiveness. So we must tell people that you want to forgive, you want to forgive, you must follow this the rules and regulation of seeking forgiveness and repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that person, eventually, he became an imam of Al-Jannah. And it was close for him to die, just like the one that's asked you now. The death is approaching, and yet he was saying this. But this one, death was approaching, he was looking for a way out. And see, he, Allah make it an imam of Al-Jannah. Because Allah, what? Ya ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim la taqnatu min rahmatillah.
Do not lose hope. Do not lose hope of Allah's mercy.
Wala ya'asu min rahmatillah. Don't lose hope.
No, who la ya'asu min rahmatillah al-kafirun.
Al-kafirun is only those who have disbelief that they have be despite the mercy of Allah. At any point, don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. No.
All right, for as long as there is life, there is hope. So please don't lose hope.
Lose hope.
Please, listeners, regardless of whatever you're
going
through.
Whatever condition you have today, don't lose hope in Allah. Have hope in Allah. That's please. What Allah is for you. Allah is there for you. Keep taking whatever the problem alive. You have. Allah is there to actually take out all the problems. Keep your hope alive. Every believer lives between hope and despair. There must be, as long as you are living, you are breathing and breathing out, Allah can change your condition. To what is good.
Allah Akbar. Alhamdulillah. Now, we also know, because we are trying to delve into some of these attributes for people to really understand, you know, Allah through these attributes. Now, so looking at it, yeah, we describe, the Quran describes Allah as Al-Khaliq, the creator, and Al-Malik, the sovereign ruler. Now, so these names, what exactly do they teach us about the nature of the universe and our role as stewards of creation?
Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he was going to create the heart, of course, before he was going to create Adam, he has created everything on earth. The animal kingdom, the plant kingdom.
So were the last to arrive
everything.
Here.
Then after that, this needs this management. This needs somebody to head them. Who is going to be the one to behead them? So now Allah says, okay, let me create human being to be the vigilant to manage this for me under my instructions, under my guidance. Not actually inventing his own rules and regulations, but the rules and regulations are put down. So Allah says is the Khaliq. So he created everything. That every other thing is makhluk. That imam was that every other thing is a creatures of Allah. And that is why it is said La ta'ati fi mavi makhluk. You don't obey. You don't obey the creatures. Sinning against the creator. That all other things, whether you, whether your boss, whether your business, whether everything, they are, you are all equal. And that is why in Islam, a Muslim does not pray to Allah through any living thing. Even through the Muhammad messenger, they say, by virtue of Muhammad, by virtue of Kaaba, by virtue of Quran, by virtue of, you don't do that. Because you and Kaaba, you are all creatures of Allah. Muhammad is a creature of Allah. See, your parents are creatures of Allah. So Islam, out of this, Islam does not permit us to pray to Allah through other creatures of Allah. Rather, you pray to Allah through his own majesty, through his own name. You pray to him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is the creator of everything. And he has power over everything. And he has given you chance to control whatever he wants to do. And this control too is in his hand. Kullahuma malikul mulik. Tutil mulika mantasha. That this sovereignty, this dominion too, it is the art of Allah.
So it's not something of coincidence or just mother nature that just sprung up from somewhere.
It's predetermined by Allah. Tutil mulika mantasha. I give all the sovereignty to whomever I like. You manage this. Ya da uda ina jalnaka khalifat fad. You see, fakum ben nasbil adal. You have made you a virgin heart. So therefore, just between people in justice.
Hmm.
So we are all creatures of Allah, and everything that's created is in the creatures of Allah. But this needs to be managed.
Hmm.
You are the one to manage it.
Hmm.
So whatever you are, any position, this is to tell you, any position you find yourself, you are going to be accountable to Allah, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to manage that. Whether you're a manager in an office, whether you're a father in your house, whether you're a mother in your house, whether you are a chairman of the CDC, whether you're a governor, whatever you are, Allah has given you that opportunity to lead the rule. He is the creator of all. Everything that is created, you are just there to manage it for some time. You are going to account to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all those things.
So we are products of creation, not evolution.
We are all creation, not evolution. Allah creates. That's why Khalik, Al-Bari. That's why it's called Al-Bari, the originator. It's not that somebody has gone, so it's not. We are not just evolution. We did not just evolve.
We did not just evolve. Allah created everything.
So it is creation.
It is not evolution.
Allah created everything.
Because the attempt at evolution, just find evolution is actually deny creation.
No, that's just came out of it. That's why you keep on saying discovery. What are you discovering? Some that has already been there before.
Before you came.
I don't see it. I just discovered that it's there. So that is just it.
Allah
is the creator of everything. And we must know that as well, that your king is the sovereign ruler, but he gives this one, but he has never given creation ability to anybody. There are some attributes of Allah, some names that it's not shared with anybody. He does not share creation with anybody of human being. He's the one that creates human being.
He does not share
oneness with anybody. He's only one.
That's but the dominion of the heavens
the dominion
and the earth
of the heart
is not shared with anyone.
Lillahi muliku samawati wal ard.
All right, good. Now, looking at that, another attribute of Allah that comes to mind, which probably we need to also look at, is that of Al-Adl, the just, and Allah is Al-Hakam, the ultimate judge. Allah is Al-Adl, the just, and he is Al-Hakam, the ultimate judge. Now, looking at the fact that we live in a world that is filled with injustice, so how can these attributes of Allah, being the just and being the ultimate judge, you know, how does that probably give believers the hope and inspire them to uphold fairness in their daily lives? Because a lot of people feel like, it must just not end like this. The way a lot of people have been oppressed, the way a lot of people have been cheated, the way some people just live their lives, you know, people's rights taken away. It was not just end like that.
Yeah, that is Adil, because the Allah has Qadar. But that's Qadar that destined is justice before him.
Okay.
Because Hakam, Allah is actually is wise. Well, Hakim is wise. So he knows what he's doing. It does not require to consult anybody before he decides what he wants to do. So he knows the beginning and knows the end. So whatever he does, it is justice before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Islam is a religion of relationship, which you all know. Clear. Any ayah in the Quran, any ayah, if you take it, if you do the tafsir, it will fall under either of the three categories of relationship. Relationship with our Lord who has created us, Allah, who is Allah, which we are trying to learn. Allah, this is what he wants, this is what he does not want. His own that he wants from us. Worship him, believe in me, do a switch partner with me. These are the rights of Allah alone. Relationship with our fellow creatures, human being, our fathers, our mothers, our children, our neighbors, our relatives, our co-workers, everything, animal kingdom, plant kingdom, everything, they're all creatures of Allah. How do you relate with them? You must be just to all of them. You must give each and every one their rights. Allah has given rights to each and every one. Even between husband and wife, there are rights and responsibilities. So justice means you must, because Allah is just, has given what is due to you, you must give to do what is due to each and everyone. And equally relationship with your personal self. Who am I? What am I? Wafiyam fusikum.
Afalatum
sirun. Into yourself, can't you see, can't you partner? So this justice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever he has done is just. And that is why you see every Friday when we pray, the imams, we come and say, in Allah, in Suratul Nahal.
Surah 16.
So Allah will say everything. Yes, ayah 90 or so. In Allah, Yamr al-Adil,
wa al-Ihsan,
wa yitai,
dhil qurba,
wa yanha,
an al-fahsha, wa al-munkar,
wa al-baghi, ya'idhukum la'alakum tadhakkaroon. It's Adil. Yamr al-Adil. Allah commands justice. Because himself, adilu, wa akrab li-taqwa. Justice is very, very close to piety. If you are not, if you don't have piety, you cannot be just. If you are just, you should be, if you have piety. So whoever that aspires must be just, because you know you are going to account to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever you do. So justice is there from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you must always be done. So same thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about the hakam,
the ultimate judge.
That is ultimate judge. Whatever you judge, that's whatever. Even if it's judge, yeah, somewhere here you say you go to from high court to magistrate to high court to appeal court to supreme court. These are human beings. Allah is the supreme justice. It's absolute. His judgment is final. And nobody can question. La yus'al amma yuf'al wa yus'al. Nobody can question Allah. So it's the ultimate judge. And whatever he does. Alaysa Allahu bi ahkam al-hakimin. So alaysa Allahu bi ahkam al-hakimin. So is there any judge as perfect as Allah? No. So the ultimate justice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we know that, if we now relate it together with ourselves, and somebody cheats you, you know definitely it does not go. As a Muslim, as a believer, you know, you cannot cheat me and go away. Hassan Basri rahimahullah, he said, if there must be anybody that I must gossip or I must cheat in this world, it should be my parents. They say, why? He said, because I know these are the old people that deserve to take from my good deeds. The somebody you cheat, you know what? Because of that job, the resurrection, everything, every inadequacies will be taken away from your good deeds. You see, let's say, Manuel Muflis, those that actually bankrupt. They thought it's Muflis, the bankrupts are those who don't have money, who don't have anything. No, the bankrupt one on that day of the creation are those who came with their salat, their fasting, their hajj. They all come, they're full. But then they have cheated this, they have robbed this, they have backbited this, they have denied this one of their own benefits in this world. What happened? That day Allah will say, oh, this Allah, I want this. No, I gave you now. Oh, this person has taken it. Oh, now I want it back. Okay, fine. Take from goods and give to him. So Allah is just. So anybody that feels that, you know, anybody cheats you in this world, don't worry. If he cheats you in this world, he just save you for the hereafter. You're going to get back. And that's what is most important. So Allah is just, and nobody can cheat anybody and go score. This is, you know, end like this. So just like you have said.
You just can't imagine the level of oppression that is in the world
this
today.
This suffering is too much now.
It just can't end here like that. People just embezzling money, making them go through hell, and it will just end like that.
No, it cannot end like that.
It just must not end like that.
That is the reason why there's resurrection. That is the reason why there's death.
There must be resurrection.
If there's no death, the world will be worse than this. If there's no death, the world will have been worse than this.
Yes.
Fira will not be good now.
Yes, now. Fira the impunity will just be too much.
Even though there will never leave.
Yes.
The impunity will just be too much.
Allah Akbar. Allah Akbar.
So that is, and without death, there's no resurrection. And with there's no resurrection, without resurrection, there's no judgment. It's only on the day of Qiyamah that you will have the judgment. So just judgment is the justice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Alhamdulillah.
He may not understand you as a human being, but Allah, that's why he is the ultimate, that's why he said, ahakam. Because he knows what you don't know.
Alright, so you are still listening to Everyday Muslim on 91.7 WFM. We'll go on a short break. When we return to the program, continues, please stay with us.
الكبير الحفيظ المقيت الحسيب الجليل الكريم الرقيب المجيب الواسع الحكيم الودود المجيد الباعث الشهيد الحق الوكيل القوي المتين الولي الحميد المحصي المبدئ المعيد المحيي المميت الحي القيوم الواجد الماجد الواحد الصمد القادر المقتدر المقدم المؤخر الأول الآخر الظاهر الباطن الوالي المتعالي البر التواب المنتقم العفو الرؤوف مالك الملك ذو
all All right, you're still listening to Everyday Muslim on WFM 91.7. And today we are treating the characteristics of God in Islam, exploring the 99 names of Allah and their attributes. And our discussant has been Sheikh Dawood Adelakun, the Chief Missioner of the Association of Muslim Professionals, Chief Imam of Omituru Central Mosque in Ikorodu, and the Chairman of Hablukor Charitable Foundation. You can be a part of this discourse by calling the number 07000-917-917. 07000-917-917. Alternatively, you can call 09155-917-917. That is 09155-917-917. Our toll-free line for the female callers is 0800-1235-917. You can also send a message via SMS or WhatsApp to the number 081-55-917-917. That is 081-55-917-917. All right. So, Sheikh, while we await the call and messages of our listeners, looking at the fact that the world today is in turmoil, and the world is in search of peace, love, and harmony. Now, part of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have As-Salam, the source of peace, and Al-Wadud, the most loving. So, with the focus on this peace, love, and harmony, how can these attributes guide us in promoting understanding and peaceful coexistence in this, divided world? Because I'm just trying to look at what is going on in Ukraine, look at what is going on in Gaza, look at what is going on in Sudan, look at, in different parts of the world, turmoil, turbulence. So, in our search for peace, how can understanding these attributes of Allah, As-Salam, Allah as a source of peace, and Al-Wadud as the most loving, how can we use that to actually, engender peaceful coexistence?
Thank you so much. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Allah that has created the world is the creator, and nobody wants to create anything and wants to be in turmoil and wants problem and just wants to succeed. Allah has created us with the intention that we should all live harmoniously together. And that was why he has told Adam that you go, just stay here and be enjoying here, there will be no problem for you. But then Satan comes in and try to mislead people. Doesn't want people to get there. In everything you want to do in life, some obstacle will come. You will have a challenge. Allah allows that to take place so that he wants to know those who actually listen to him or not. So, intention of Allah is to be peace and harmony. That is why all religion of Islam, they have name. Islam itself is called Al-Islam. What's Islam? The root word of Islam is what?
Salam.
As-Salam, which is what?
Peace.
And Allah himself is called As-Salam, the source of peace. This peace and harmony and tranquility comes from me, Allah alone. So he's As-Salam himself. So, and Allah himself, he calls himself Al-Wadud, the loving, the caring, the harmonious, there are many things that is attractive. Allah called himself that one, that he loves all of us. And that is why he created us. He wants us to be happy in this world. So Allah expects us to live together in harmony. Allah recognizes the fact that we have differences. He knows. Allah said, I know. Allah said, if I had wished, Allah would have made all of you one nation. But no. I do it to test you which one will actually listen to my word. Because I've bestowed upon you one gift that will make you to be accountable, which I've not given the angels. That is the gift of choice.
Yes.
Just give intellect and choice. So you can decide what is right and what is wrong. In Adena with Sebila. So because I've given you these two ways, this is what is right and this is what is wrong. So those who do what is right, they have Al-Jannah. Those who do what is wrong. So those who follow the other part, they want to get more people
to their side.
So they create turmoil. They create hatred. They implant hatred between two people, two brothers. And the greatest is between husband and wife. Shaitan have said.
Yeah.
I will be creating what?
Discord.
Husband and wife. Discord between husband and wife. And once you destroy a home, you have destroyed a nation. And that's what happened to the world today.
All right, we have a caller on the line. Hello, good morning. Hello. All right, so you can call us back. You can call us back. The number to call again is 07000-917-917. 07000-917-917. Alternatively, you can call 091-55-917-917. So we are expecting your call. You can also send a message to us via 081-55-917-917. You can send a message via text, SMS, or WhatsApp. 081-55-917-917. And for our women, actually, we'll have another caller on the line. Hello.
Hello.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. What's your name and where you calling from? All right, so we seem to be having some, network challenges there. So please do continue to make, efforts to call us. We'll continue to try to, get your message. So, yeah, Sheikh.
So that's what Allah expects us to, that it should be peace and harmony. Yes, there will be distractions. There will be problems. There will be causes.
But some people will cause problems.
Because you as a Muslim, like, what does Allah intend?
Mm.
He wants me to be a peace ambassador.
Mm.
To give peace.
An arbiter.
Because Allah is an arbiter of peace. Because Allah is a salam. Mm. And that's what you need to learn about the names of Allah.
Mm.
We need to, because it's not only knowing them, like I said. Mm. We need to learn the names and know the meaning. Mm. And try to
work
internalize
by
this meaning and work by this meaning. If my Lord says it's a Lord of peace, what am I supposed to be?
Then I'm supposed to be a peacemaker.
I'm supposed to be a peacemaker. If my Lord says I'm loving, then what am I supposed to be? I'm supposed to be
shower
loving.
Love to
so
people.
These are the things that we benefit from the names of Allah. It's not just chanting them or reciting them. So it'll be the peace and harmony in this world. It is only we Muslims that can champion it.
Alright.
We do want to champion this peace and harmony.
Hello.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. What's your name and where you're calling from?
Assalamu wa rahmatullah.
Yes, I'm Muhammad Yusuf Olamide Adedema. I'm calling from Alaska, Lagos.
You're welcome, sir.
Thanks to our Jazakallah Khairan to the Ustaz. Yes, I'm enjoying his analysis, on 99 names of Allah. And my question is this. Apart from the 99 names, is it true that there are other names, that are not mentioned? That's a number one question.
Okay.
And the number two is this. How do we incorporate them in our prayer? How do we use them to pray to God? To make requests.
Okay.
Apart from the number prayer that we have in Korean, Rabbana Atina Fiddunya, is it proper to use 99 names of Allah to request too? That's my question. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. So, the first one. So, apart from these 99 names, are there other ones? Because you read one hadith the other time that there are some other ones probably that Allah didn't make.
Yes. Allah has many, many names.
Mm.
The ones he has abridged for us are the 99 names of Allah,
okay.
Which you know. And those ones are perfect names. But beyond them, there are other names which Allah. That's why the message of Allah, when he wants to ask, he said, he also asked, I ask you Allah, by virtue of those names, which Allah Alam Tawhadumi, start of Iktabik, that those you have mentioned in your books, which are 99 names of Allah. Those one you have mentioned in your book are 99 names of Allah. You mentioned in the Quran. Then, how the one you have hidden in the hidden knowledge within you that's only known to you.
Mm.
I don't know those names, but you know them. I'm begging you by those names that you know.
Mm.
You see, the names that is with you, reserve in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know my problems, Allah. I'm begging you by virtue of those names that is reserved with you. Ilm al-ghaib indak. Oh, Alam ta'adu min khalikik. All you have taught some of your creatures of Allah, which are genuine names, not the kind of names that are conjuring today or concurring today,
okay,
or using the name of angels or using the name of the genes and combine everything together. No, these concussions are not supposed to be.
All right,
so these are known by Allah. So there are other names of Allah known to Allah alone, or taught to his messengers, or taught to some people that he prefer among himself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one we're asking by that.
All right.
So the best way to use those one is not to try to be looking for them.
Okay.
It's by using the phrase which the messenger used, that I beg you, Allah, by virtue of your 99 names which you have mentioned, and by virtue of the notes that you have reserved within you, and by virtue of those that you have taught some people that are genuine, which I don't know, and I don't need to go and learn them.
Yes. If you actually want us to learn them, you will have shown us.
You will have shown us. Want me to learn is the one you have given me.
So even the ones that we now know, so how then do we approach Allah with them? Is it that I say, okay,
now this one that we know, the best way, that's why I said the best way to use the of Allah, the real names are there. That's why Allah said, Adi Allah, Awidi Rahman, Ayyamma Tadi Falawal Asmaul Usna. What are you call Allah? What are you call the most merciful? Allah says all of them are beautiful names. But then They are uniqueness. These names are unique.
Okay.
So Allah has created you to have some different type of challenges in life.
Mm.
So you look at the names of Allah, that suits that particular challenge that you want.
Okay, very good.
Then you call Allah by that name.
Okay, all right. So because I've listened to some scholars that will say it's not good for you to just say Ya Latif, Ya Latif, Ya Latif, Ya Latif.
So that one again too. Like I've said, it is not just by repetition, by saying so that you have jazbu. Jazbu means you know that you say Allah, 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 Allah. That did not become unconscious. Islam does not preach jazbu. What to make it to enter into unconsciousness
or into trance
and everything? Okay. Or start saying Ya Latif, Ya Latif, Ya Latif. Because those names, remember, just look at it very well yourself. If you keep on doing it, at the time you start committing sin, because it's just in jargons. At the time you just be rolling your tongue for nothing. It will have no meaning.
Even what exactly do you want that to have
in Aligna Jamawa Qurhana? Don't just be rotating your tongue to be first with the name of Allah. Ya Latif, Ya Latif, Ya Latif. That is not the way. Ya Latif Al Tuf Bi. Ya Rahman Arhamni. Ya Karim Akrim, I want honor. Oh Allah, this place I'm going, I need to have honor there. Let me shine among those infidel. Give me honor. Give me acceptability. Ya Karim Akrim. Oh Allah,
honor me.
I need something. I need. So that is why Imam Hassan Basri, he said one of his book, when he was trying to explain this Iwala al-Asma al-Ustafade Ubiha, he said, Allah says, I don't want to say,
okay,
call me, I will answer you. فَفَارِكُ كَبِيرُ بَيْنَ أَنْ تَدِعُ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَتَقُولُ اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَبَيْنَ أَنْ تَقُولَ اللَّهُمَّ يَا غَفَّارُ اغْفِرْ لِي. So there's a difference between a say اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لِي, oh Allah forgive me, oh Allah forgive me, and saying oh Allah the most forgiving,
forgive me.
That is the way I'll embrace of that place. If I want to pray, he will use the name
that suits
the purpose of which we want and ask. That's why I say in Ramadan, you say, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa. Look at the quality. He has watched you have used it to actually close by to Allah.
Yes.
You see, you have more Allah, more because, oh Allah, innaka afuun.
All right, so we have another call on the line. Hello, good morning. Assalamu alaikum. All right, we lost the call.
So, in the afuun, that you are the one that overlooks. Therefore, you say this is your name because that is what Allah wants from us.
Allah,
he wants us to attest that Allah, you said that you are Ghani. You said you are the one that's most sufficient. Allah, I want this. It's your name. You name yourself, and nobody named you.
Mm-hmm.
It is you that tell us that this is your name. And we should call you. Therefore, I'm calling you by virtue of that name which he says is your name. It's just like somebody gives you, you buy an item for somewhere. They give you a receipt, and they say you can return it so time. You now brought it, and they say, like, no, but you told me I can return. This is the receipt you gave me, and this is the code here. This is everything here. You are justifying it.
Yes.
Because alas, this is my name. Therefore, I'm calling you by that your name.
All right. Good. I love that. Now, so because now that we talked about this 99 names, and because there's this particular hadith that Prophet Sallam said that whoever memorizes the 99 names of Allah will enter paradise. So,
yes,
what does this hadith mean in practical terms? And very quickly, so how can we live by these names rather than just merely memorizing them? Because a lot of people say, I have it in my head, I'll just be reading it like that. So, is it about just memorizing and reading them? Or how do we exactly internalize them? Or what exactly did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam really meant by this particular hadith?
There are three aspects of this, you have said it. One is actually
the memorization.
Memorization of the names. You memorize is good because you memorize the Quran.
Okay.
That is good. Spiritually, it's working with you, it's working within you by those memorization. Then, second one is knowing the meaning of what you have memorized. Okay, I have memorized Allah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Malik, Al-Qudus, Al-Salam, Al-Muhmin, Al-Muhaymin, Al-Azid, Al-Jabbar. You know them. Then you know the meaning of each and every one.
Each one.
But beyond knowing the meaning of each one, then understand them. You cannot know something I don't understand.
Yes.
I just know this is the meaning of this.
Yes.
What does it work?
Mm-hmm.
What does it work for?
Yes.
What is the implication of each and every name?
Mm-hmm.
You need to learn them. And that is why sometimes you meet the scholars or you read about
more
them,
about
the books
them
of Sunnah that you read. This is the way, this is the Ghafur of Allah. If Allah says I'm most forgiving, what does he mean that most forgiving? What does it mean that most forgiving? You study that, and by virtue of that one now, you now use it.
All right.
It's not sufficient for you to know it, memorize it, and know the meaning, understand, without using it. Allah said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ إِنَّ إِبَادَةِ رَبِّ صَدِقُونَ دَخِرِينَ. So if you know the name of Allah, don't use it, it's a sin. You know the name of Allah, because if you don't pray to Allah, you're a sinner. Allah wants you to always pray to Christ. So that's why I say, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ وَإِلَى الْأَسْمَاءِ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ. The name that belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who refuse to call me, they feel self-sufficient. They feel arrogant.
Yes.
They feel I don't need anything. Need this anything again. No, no matter, it's not only worth.
Okay.
And that is why Allah does not give everything to everybody. So I always call Allah.
All right, good. So how do these names of our attributes of Allah really shape a Muslim's character? Because I believe that now we really need to now manifest this in our daily lives.
Yes.
In our everyday life. So what do you have to say on how we manifest these names in our character?
I think we have asked that, we have discussed that, that Islam, the names of Allah that we have must actually reflect in our behavior.
In our behavior.
In our creator. That's why we have said, you say, you know, I'm a Muslim. And we say Muslim that
who
submit to Allah, profess faith, and you behave like a hooligan. Where is Islam in you?
Where is Islam in you? Because Allah is a peacemaker. So are you fomenting trouble?
Say then you say there are some names like Sabur, Al Halim, Al Ghafur. All those are the patient. Allah is patient. It's expected to be patient. That's why you see all the names of Allah as much as they are. The last one is the patient, and that is the greatest attribute Allah wants from any human being. You have to be patient. Everything in life, this life is a trial. Allah asks us to try us. That's why it says, "Allah khalaqal maut wa al-hayata liyabluwakum ayyukum ahsanu amala." We were created to this world to be tried. We are going to have some challenges. How do we overcome these challenges? It is by praying to Allah with His name and by being patient for those prayers to manifest.
All right.
Because you don't know, Allah knows.
Now, on a final note now. So looking at these 99 names, and for the fact that it's something that probably is more unique to the Muslims. So, but how do we use these attributes and these names as a bridge of understanding between Islam and other faiths, especially by demonstrating the mercy, the justice, and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is universal, beyond the fact that, yes, I'm a Muslim. There are some other people that might not be Muslims. They might practice different faith. But then, Allah is also their Lord, is also their creator.
Yes.
So how do we now use this attribute to actually serve as a bridge of understanding and peaceful coexistence with people of other faiths?
This is because, like the non-believers, the non-Muslims, all of them believe in one God. All of them believe there's God. Whether they say it's two or three of them, but they believe there's God.
Okay.
They all believe in justice. Everybody wants justice. They all believe in peaceful coexistence. So that is a common brand on which you can all discourse. Look at your book. That's why Allah says in the Quran, Ta'alaw ila kalimatu sawai baina wa bainakum. Let us discuss. Your God is a God of peace. I must say God of peace. Why should we have land? I will take some of my part of my land. And they say that's with justice. It is then your books made them a book. Let us use it. Okay. So there's a common ground. Spiritually, socially, economically, and everything, there's there's common ground. The only area where we can have problem is when it comes to the definition of God and the definition of worship. When it comes to physical worship and the definition of God, we may have differences. But when it comes to other mundane interrelationship, of course, in marriage too, we may not. So we must you come together. There must, because this is the name of Allah. Allah says, I am this. That is why even when we name a human being in Sharia, when we name a child, and tell the child, this is why, because that name is not the choice of the child. It's the choice of the parents. Say, I have named you Abdurrahman. Because I want you to always be merciful. That is the reason I gave you that name. So if everybody must know why we bear the name. So this must show in our soul. I'm a Muslim. I'm doing this because I'm a Muslim. And the Lord I serve is a patient God. The Lord I serve is a loving God. The Lord I serve is a kind God. Therefore, I'm kind.
All right. Good. Jazakumullah khairan. Because of time, the discussion is very, very interesting. Like I said, Jazakumullah khairan to Sheikh Dawooda Adelakum for the insight that he has shared, for the explanations and examples, relevant examples that he has brought. And we also like to appreciate all our listeners, including the callers and those who try to call in, they were having, you know, one challenge or the other. We all appreciate you. We know we can't do this without you. So we would like to tell you that you can listen again to this episode or all the previous episodes of Everyday Muslim on mpac-ng.org, mpac-ng.org. Scroll down and click on the MPAC project to view Everyday Muslim past uploaded episodes. Follow Everyday Muslim on social media, Facebook, Everyday Muslim, Instagram, Everyday Muslim 01. Inshallah, the program would make its way back to your airwaves next week, same time, 11 a.m., same station, WFM 91.7. I remain Abdul Hakim Qasim. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.